He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers content creator for Offside. I still don't, I can't quite find like the title that, you know, because the official one's kind of long. So I'm trying to find what to use there. I might just say I'm Anthony.
You can't, why do you have to like have your corporate title? I don't use my corporate title publicly. I just say I'm Grand NBA Czar.
Maybe that's what I'll be. I'll be Grand Lakers Czar for Offside.
Yeah, just say like I'm the Lakers guy for Offside. The Lakers guy, capital T-H-E.
Thing is, like we're getting more Lakers guys. So
well, but you're the Lakers guy. Like there are other Lakers guys. Those are the other Lakers guys.
Mm.
Like, Raj has to come in, and he's like, you know, he's like, hey, I'm Raj Chapallo, the other Lakers guy for Offside.
Yeah.
You got to let people know where they are in the hierarchy.
Yeah, that would be funny. Like, no, I'm just like some Lakers dude, but for every single other person that we hire from now on who does Lakers stuff, they're the other one.
Yeah. Raj is senior Lakers film consultant.
Today on the show. Well, it's kind of hard to figure out what to talk about today, Harrison. Not much going on. What do you want to talk about?
You know, I'm going to say waking up to Harrison fired trending was, you know, a unique experience on Veterans Day. I knew I had the day off, slept in, woke up, was just seeing everyone like, oh, man, Harrison's firing is just long overdue. And I'm like, huh?
And everybody's like really happy about it.
Yeah. I mean, I anticipated that part, but
yeah.
You know, my haters are legion, but thankfully it was not me this time.
I sent out a tweet that I feel like I might eventually regret at some point, which is, where is it? An entire major city throwing a block party because you got canned is crazy. And I don't think you're going to
regret that one. Oh, I see why you might regret that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if I'm no longer the Lakers guy for anywhere, that tweet might go kind of crazy.
Well, no, I mean, I don't think so because it's not an entire city celebrating your firing. It's like a city's worth of really online Lakers fans all over the world.
Yeah. It's just
like
Reddit.
The celebration at the end of Star Wars when the Empire falls. Yeah. There's like people in every country like banging little like cutouts of your head, playing them as the drums, you know?
Yeah, he would be. I'm just picturing some nerd just hammering away at their keyboard because on Reddit, saying like, "Finally, we did it, guys! We proved he was a grifter." but no, Nico Harrison. As you guys can see at the very bottom there, the Mavericks have fired Nico Harrison. Finally, 9 months after trading Luka Doncic, turns out not even Patrick Dumont wanted to stick around and see what that vision was. So we're going to
saw the vision. It was not good. The vision was bad. It was just a vision of just like death and desolation. And it was like the vision that Sarah Connor has in Terminator 2. That was sort of the vision.
Or like Vision when he first appears in Avengers, where he's just like a terrifying, he's like way too powerful. And he picks up Thor's hammer and stuff. That vision. But eventually he turns out to be good. And I guess we'll see whether firing Nico is what was needed to make that vision turn out to be okay. So we'll talk about Nico Harrison being fired and, some of the spectrum of reactions to it has been interesting to me.
There's been a spectrum.
Yeah, I've noticed some.
Mostly just saw hell yeah.
Well, I mostly that, but like yeah. I think it says a lot about like internet culture that like
you have to RIP have bozo a lot, you know.
Yeah. But like I feel like it, you know, because I noticed it. Like there are still Nico stands for some reason. He's been fired. You don't have to do it anymore, and so we'll.
You have like it's almost like Nico. Like if you, it's like a their version of the Luka trade. Like if you have made a decision that dumb, you kind of have to just keep doubling down.
Just keep writing it out.
Admit that you're wrong at that point.
Maybe, or you know, admit you're wrong. Which again, which I think is it really kind of highlights the internet culture that kind of drives at least me crazy. I think a lot of people crazy. And then so we'll talk a little bit about that. A lot of people have been asking over the course of the day, what does this mean for the Lakers? You know, can, and frankly, like based on the conversations that I've had with people around the league, everybody is kind of happy this happened because like Dallas was just kind of stuck. They couldn't really do much of anything because they were concerned that yeah. Nico would do something insane again, or that the reaction to Nico doing anything would be even crazier than it's been since trading Luka, and it's gotten louder and louder. And
that's why you have to fire him. Because yeah. if the question that you as an owner are asking yourself before every move is like, is this guy about to make the dumbest trade of all time? That's probably not the guy that you want running your franchise.
Well, there was a report from earlier that, you know, Patrick Dumont was going to become more involved in basketball decisions and that he had to give like tangible final say to, you know, and place real guardrails around Nico Harrison. And it's like, if you have to place guardrails around your GM, then you don't.
Yeah, it's like you have to put a baby gate up for Miles. You're not going to let him do your taxes then. You know,
right. So, you know, we'll talk about what this move here from Dallas will mean for the Lakers as well, as, you know, there are some Dallas Mavericks there who I would be interested in. I don't know, maybe at the end we'll, you know, send Nico off like the Lakers hero that he is. And you know, remember a man who, you know, gave it all to make sure that the Lakers are okay moving forward.
When they build the Luka statue, it should be Nico escorting him into the building, you know, like behind him.
Yeah, it would be like, you know, that one like Ninja Turtles meme where they made it with Kobe where it was.
Yeah, yeah, the Master Splinter and the, you know, yeah. I was getting this ready for Bronny's next good game. I was going to do like the Master Splinter, like old leading Bronny, and then like Bronny is the Ninja Turtle leading LeBron. Yeah.
So maybe that's what we'll have to, you know, say some nice things about a guy who has given us the pleasure of watching Luka Doncic, who's averaging something like 50 points a game and 25 rebounds a game and 33 assists a game. And
yeah, but Anthony, the jersey jiggles a little bit. So I don't know if that's real production.
So yeah, let's go ahead and dive on in. Quick reminder, please do hit that subscribe button. Please do hit that like button. If you guys are subscribed to the YouTube channel here, please tell your friends about it. Hit that share button as well. And then if you guys are listening to this in the morning via podcast, please hit subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey. But you know what? No matter where it is, I don't care. Just subscribe and 5-star review. Also check out, with the work that I'm doing on Offside, I'm going to be more active, I guess, on TikTok. And, you know, if you guys want a place where you can just go there and find all of my Offside videos, at least for a little while. Eventually, they're all just going to be on Offside. So go to offside.gg to figure out how to ensure that you get all of that content there. But also, in the run-up to that, TikTok is going to be the place to find a lot of those videos as well, if you want them all just kind of neatly categorized in one spot. So
how many followers do you have on TikTok now?
I don't know. What time is it? 3. I think. No,
just
I don't know.
Three?
No, I don't know. I literally set it up. Well, no, it used to be the Lakers Lounge channel. Then I changed the @ to my @ Anthony Irwin LA that I have on Twitter. And I really haven't really looked at it. I'm not very good with social media. I don't know if you noticed this. Do you remember the mistake I made that kept me at 17,000 followers for forever on Twitter?
No, I was just going to say, like, in that spirit, you know, I think if we can get Anthony to 2,000 followers on TikTok, he will do whatever the latest TikTok trend dance is for you. I'm willing to promise that on his behalf.
Yeah, big dancer over here.
Yeah.
I do got to say, all right, so we were going to go live. We were trying to go live right at 3. And we were going to go live right at 3, and I promised Harrison I would tell the story. The reason that we were a little bit behind was because we had a catastrophic, monumental, terrifying, horrifying development here in the household for my daughter, who you would recognize from the beginning and end of all of these podcasts, at least her voice anyway. And I'm getting set up, and I'm hearing... I mean, hear her crying.
Multiple photos of her right behind you.
Also, yeah. Also that one.
Yeah.
Oh, and also that one. Eesh, Miles. Yeah. Sorry, you're falling a little bit behind.
Yeah.
I think Miles, he's one of these ones over here.
No, Miles, hot seat, hotter seat than Nico Harrison. You know.
But no. So I hear Avery crying outside my office, and I'm like, I always just get nervous if I leave the kids alone for a little while to do the show. It doesn't matter how old they are. I'm always going to be a little nervous about it, especially Avery. Cause like, if she's crying, it's bad. You know, she's a pretty tough girl.
Well, also she's at the age where I assume she's not crying that often, you know?
Yeah, no, not really. Yeah. Like if she's crying, it's, you know, like something
really went wrong. It's not like I'm hungry.
Yeah. So I listen and I'm like, what kind of cry is that? Oh no, that's a really sad cry. So I go out there and I ask her, kiddo, what's up? And she goes, Daddy, I bought a diary from the bookstore and I left the key to the lock in school. And I'm just like, oh no. Like there's no, she's trying to get me to like drive back to the school so we could like scour the campus to try to find the key. That was not going to happen. But
yeah,
I'm thinking like, shit, like, what do? I take a bolt cutter out and like open up the lock that way? I feel like that would be kind of traumatizing. And then I remembered, oh yeah, that's right. It's just that little lock that comes on every kid's thing that has a lock on it. And I feel like those keys have to be universal. And I hope so anyway. So I go and I grab the key. Well, first I grab a little flathead wrench, you know, screwdriver, see if that works. Cause that's what works on the bathrooms that we have here.
Yeah. Yeah.
That didn't work. So I was like, shit, where do we have any of those keys? So I looked in her room, couldn't find one.
Well, I mean, if you twisted hard enough, it probably
would. It took me 15 freaking minutes to try to find the stupid key thing. So finally I do. And I open it up and I give her back her diary and she's like, thanks, thanks, Dad. And she's like hyperventilating. I was like, all right, kiddo, here's what we're going to do. We got to have a talk. This kind of cry is like your dog just died cried. This is not an open the diary, like could not open a diary cry. I was eventually going to get this thing open one way or another. You just got to like, I know that it's probably not great. And she's holding eventually going to tell emotions. Some, huh? Yeah. Like I know eventually
just push them down.
Yeah. Well, exactly. You're half Mexican. That's what we do. So I know that eventually she's going to wind up telling some therapists about the time that Daddy told her not to cry about her diary. But I don't know. Am I wrong? I don't think she should be crying over a diary.
I feel like that's a lesson she's got to learn from society, not from like her dad telling her cry less. Like that's got to happen like when she cries at school over something and gets made fun of, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, okay, maybe I don't cry like this.
Would you rather get that lesson from the world or from your dad in a controlled environment?
Well, I don't know, because now it's like she's going to associate it with you. She's like, I can't express my real feelings to my dad. I have to hold it in and be strong for him. He's just...
Ironic that this is like going... This is happening over a diary.
Yeah.
Unlocking a diary. Anyway, all right, let's go ahead and dive
on diary. It. Dad was a dick again today.
Yeah, let me know. I want to know in the chat. Like, was I not supposed to tell her? Like, kid, it's going to be okay. Because eventually, it's going to be okay. That, like, you know,
dear diary, Dad said, "Big girls don't cry."
I hope the next line is, but it's a good thing because he fixed my diary and I'm writing in you because of my daddy.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll go ahead and dive on in, though. And the news from this morning. So if you've been paying any kind of attention to the Mavericks season, and I could understand why you wouldn't, but the signs were all pointing at this going, this is happening, you know, and, you know, there were several very telling leaks, but one of the more telling leaks, I believe it was Mark Stein who gave this one. And the reporting on this has been really good. Mark has been really good. Tim McMahon has been really good. And
Dallas has a beat well equipped to cover this sort of story.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, Mark sends out, you know, my favorite detail so far was the thing about the stairs, but, but the very, very telling, detail to me,
just for people that aren't aware, Nico Harrison this is not reportedly, there's like photos of this too.
Yeah.
That came out afterwards, but Nico Harrison had a rolling staircase to his seats that would allow him to like hop the little tunnel ledge and then like exit the arena quicker without having to interact with any fans. And like, I wonder like what idea was that? Like what number idea was that? Did he try to design an escape hatch first? And they told him, they're like, no, we're not like authorizing the funding for this. You can't have like a secret tunnel to your seat, you know?
So on that note,
if you have an escape hatch from the fans, again, probably not a great sign for your job security.
I just happened to, you know, because I live out here in Texas and I try to go and cover Lakers games when they play out here. I've driven down to San Antonio, covered a game down there, driven out to Dallas to cover Luka's first game there in Dallas. One of the more surreal experiences of my life. Yeah. But of my career, maybe not my whole life. But
no, Luka's first game in Dallas, Avery being born,
fixing the lock on the Avery's Lakers diary.
Guy for offside, Miles being born.
telling Avery never cry around me.
Yeah.
But no, so I go out there to Dallas and I walk into the arena and I'll never forget this image because I walk in and because of the way that I entered, I had to walk down the lower bowl stairs to get to normally there's like a media entrance where you walk through the tunnel and you walk directly out onto
I'm almost positive there is and you just missed it, but
I got there really early and I just kind of walked around I really like that arena there. It's a cool looking arena. But anyway, so I'm walking down from through the lower bowl, through the stairs down to the court. And I'll never forget the image of Rob Pelinka standing at half court, leaned up against like the thing that they have at half court where the what's the word I'm thinking of? The scores table. Thank you. So Rob is like, you know, kind of, you know, leaning / sitting on the scores table there. Looks like king of the castle, just absolutely owning and milking every single second in movement that he can.
As the kids would say, he was mogging on Nico, I think.
He was. And so like, it was the weirdest thing to watch Rob basically like, if anybody wanted to talk to him, they had to walk to Rob at center court of the Mavs court and sit there and you would, you know, talk to him there. And then he would kind of like usher you aside and then bring the next person on over. And this dude is legit holding court on an away court. Meanwhile, the guy who would normally be doing that there was slunked away in some cavernous tunnel that
with
he
like the Palpatine hood on so that people couldn't see who he was.
It was the craziest thing. Like it was just like he was just kind of like watching from over here, and you could just tell he was just, you know, nobody see me, please. Nobody see, like, just nobody look over here. And hey, finally,
Nico, get out from behind that bookshelf. No,
it was the craziest. And you know, because they had shown, remember when the Mavericks played.
This is like what, like a month after the trade? This is not like, oh, hindsight is 2020 and it's like a year later. He didn't even make it a year after the trade before getting fired.
And so, like, you know, because remember right after the trade happened or right when Luka returned to playing, one of his earlier games was actually against the Mavericks at home.
Yeah.
It was in LA and Nico shows up. Remember, he's wearing like the electric blue suit with the bright white shirt, you know, and the bright white sneakers, and he is actually leaning up against the scorers table as if he won. Like he legit. And this is the thing, like with all
he didn't have any fans to be afraid of in the LA arena.
Yeah, well, they were all thanking him.
They're like, hey, thank you for, you know, like Rob said, just doing such honorable negotiations, keeping it quiet. Really appreciate you keeping this in house.
So. Well, that, like, this is the thing that, like, because over the course of the day, there's been a lot of, like, again, for the most part, I would say, like, 90% of people that I've seen, it's like, okay, finally, this guy's fired, or Dallas Mavericks fans are throwing a block party throughout the entire greater Dallas-Fort Worth area, but, like, there are some corners of the internet who were still, like, trying to make the case that Nico was forced to make the Luka trade either by the league or by whatever, or you know, that at the very least it was Patrick Dumont's idea and he just carried it out. Which, look, if you looked at Nico standing on the Lakers court after making the trade, that wasn't the look of a general manager who felt bad about a trade he was told he had to make, right?
Yeah.
And then eventually when the Lakers played in Dallas and he's there slunk away, it's like, oh no, he realized how thoroughly he fucked up.
And I promise you, there is no one that is a good enough employee that after all this backlash, they would not have leaked that it was ownership pushing them to make this trade.
Especially today. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, especially after he's been canned. He got canned, Harrison. Shams tweeted that he hadn't been fired yet. The meeting hadn't even taken place. He was like, they're about to have a meeting at 10 Eastern, whatever it was. And at that meeting, Nico's about to be fired. Nico's looking at his phone like, oh.
If you get that notification, do you go to the meeting still?
No.
I'm like,
I call.
I send them a text. I'm like, hey, I don't think I need to go and see you, right?
Trust
like,
me. You clearly it's not that already, serious.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and fire me now.
Like I still get my paycheck. All right, cool. I'll talk to HR on the way out. Thank you.
Yeah. Honestly, you could have done this yesterday, so I would have had a nice long weekend. And
yeah, he's like that. Honestly, I wish you would have done it yesterday. I wouldn't have had to hear an entire fan base screaming for me to get fired while a player was at the line trying to tie the game late.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So anyway, like I want to start with like how this news has kind of landed on, like, to me, we are both friends with Kirk. We are both friends with several Dallas Mavericks fans.
Yeah. I've said this before. This is, and you know, Mavs fans got mad at me yesterday for saying I feel bad for AD. I'm an empathetic guy. I can feel bad for multiple people.
I felt bad for AD. Everyone from the involved here,
Nico Harrison and Patrick Dumont. I sort of feel bad for like the Mavs. This is the first trade. Like that I have ever felt bad that the Lakers pulled off. I'm obviously thrilled to have Luka. He's awesome. And I'm not going to argue that the Lakers should send him back to be nice, but I feel bad for Mavs fans.
Yes. I mean, you know how I latch onto things, right, Harrison? One of the things that I've been thinking about a lot is how I would be incapable of analyzing the basketball. Over the course of the last 9 months, I would have been absolutely incapable of talking about how good a coach Jason Kidd might be, about any, you know, ooh, hey, Max Christie's exciting.
Oh, also, okay. Did you see the Jason Kidd getting some front office power out of this? So good news, Mavs fans. Mark Cuban's coming back, and Jason Kidd's going to be more involved. I think it's all going to be fine.
That dude's such a snake.
No one will ever convince me. It's like everybody is trying to convince in the wrong direction. They're like, oh, ownership want to do this. It's like, no. I'm looking at Jason Kidd. Yeah. Like, Jason Kidd, there's no way you're convincing me that Jason Kidd was not involved in this.
Absolutely not. No. He won zillion. Did you see Luka looking at him in that first game in LA where like Luka makes a three again, and he stares right at Jason Kidd?
You are a fat loser who is never going to get better on defense after you led me to the finals is like, that is a former player turned coach take, not a sneaker executive turned basketball executive take.
Yeah. Or both. Like, you know, cause I really think if Luka was a Nike guy, I don't think he ever gets traded. Like, I think,
well, he was Jordan. He kind of was.
Yeah, I know, but they're still competitors.
Yeah.
In a way. But yeah, like I was, you know, I don't know. To me, it's just been it's a release. Like it's an exhale moment for the league because one of the 30 teams just was stuck. There was nothing that team could do. There's and any kind of trade with that team or anything, like any kind of business that would run through that team, it was just. And by the way, that team just landed the most, like, you know, exciting American prospect in a little while, and it hasn't mattered at all because of
since Zion,
the paralysis that has been suffered throughout that organ. Like, they couldn't go and get a decent point guard.
Yeah,
like, that was crazy.
Well, they tried to get our guy D'Lo. That did not.
Like I said, a decent point guard.
Yeah.
Like it's just
I imagine like GMs are like probably calling Nico, like trying to get him to do something dumb. They're like, hey, like this guy's job is like clearly on the line. Like, what can I get him to give me now that he's like backed into a corner and desperate? And I'm sure he was picking up the phone, like, yeah, no, they're not. Yeah, sorry, they're not letting me make trades. Yeah, no, it's still the Luka thing. They're still mad about it. Just call me back next week. I don't know. I'm gonna keep, we got a meeting this week. It's closed doors, apparently. I think he's going to give me my power back, but we'll see. All right. I'll talk to you later, Rob. See you later. Yeah.
Idea. I love you too. Bye. It's like some kids asking Nico to come outside. Hey, dude, you want to come outside and play? No, mom and dad say no still. No can do.
No. Yeah. It's still the thing I'm grounded for. Yeah.
Yeah. I accidentally pooped on mom and dad's bed. And they're pissed.
And then I said, fortune favors the bold. And they didn't really like that.
Yeah. The family fish.
Yeah.
Turns out they need water. And, you know, I feel like fish is the level of pet that would not be incredibly poorly received. Like, to make a joke about, like, a kid, like,
comparing this, like, to, like, a child messing up, this is, like, the child, like, gave away the family dog to, like, a kill shelter while you were on vacation.
But it was somehow, it was a family dog that somehow everybody knew was going to be the greatest dog of all time.
Yeah, that dog went on to become Lassie.
It was the dog, it was like, when the dog barked, you were starting to hear what it was trying to say, you know, like it was actually learning how to speak. But yeah, I think today, you know, I'm like legitimately happy that, you know, Mavericks fans can kind of finally start to move on and can finally, like, this dude that, again, if I covered this team or if I cared about this team in the way that, you know, like Kirk or Jason or, you know, Nick or, you know, all those guys, Isaac, like the way that those guys and Tim and all Mark, even for that matter, like the way that these people care about this team, I truly don't think I'd be able to, I would have recused myself from covering the team for a little bit, you know, until this dude.
No, you wouldn't have. No, you wouldn't have. You would have done a podcast every single day calling that guy like 10 times worse things than Kirk did in that viral rant from that went like crazy on Reddit, where I believe, among other things, he called Nico a chuckle fuck. And
it's a great word.
Just like incredible, like Southern guy curses, you know, like the
you chuckle fuck. Yeah, it's just, yeah. But I would have really struggled, man. I don't think I would have done very well covering this team over the last 9 months or so. And finally, everybody can kind of move on. Everybody can, you know, now they literally do have to start moving on, which, you know, kind of brings us to, you know, what this might mean for the Lakers. And so PJ Washington can't be traded because of the timing of his extension and the kind of extension that he signed. He is off of the table until this upcoming offseason. That is not the case for Daniel Gafford. He signed almost to the dollar, the most that he could have signed while still being trade eligible this season. So that is worth keeping an eye on. Max Christie obviously is somebody I would like to see if the Lakers could kick the tires on. I don't know that Dallas would be looking to move him because he does line up with Derek Lively and Cooper Flagg's timelines.
Well, and beyond that, there's no way they're doing a trade with the Lakers again, even under a new GM.
Well, that's the other thing is that like
that's their fans would lose it if they go and send Luka more help, even if it's for good assets or something. Like, I don't think that like they're gonna, not that they hate Luka or something, but I just don't think that they want to be like, hey, let's go give the Lakers like another bailout.
Well, it wouldn't be the Luka thing was a bailout because the Lakers were not going anywhere without that acquisition. This would, I don't know that I would call it a bailout. It would be a shot in the arm, I guess, but I don't think like Max Christie's turning into organizations.
I don't think that they are going to be so concerned with fan perception on every single trade right now. I just don't think that any GM they bring in is going to be able to make a deal with the Lakers. Like, at least not as like one of their first moves, like maybe in 2 years. Sure.
They'll have to do something else first. Like,
yeah. Like in 2 years, maybe they're like making trades normally with the Lakers again. There's no bad blood between, you know, like Rob Pelinka still there somehow. And, you know, like whoever, like the Mavs third GM is by that point. I just don't, like, maybe they'll make deals then, but I don't see anything imminent. I just don't know how you could do that. The fan reaction would be too bad.
Do you think so? I was thinking about this over the course of the day because, like, I think I agree with you. I think so. But I feel like just by getting that guy out of that building,
gone to be sure. But like, I just don't see how you could sell the fan base on, hey, we traded, you know, Daniel Gafford. I don't know exactly how much he makes, but like for like Gabe Vincent or Maxi Kleber, I don't know. Maybe they want Maxi back. I don't know. But like a pick, and it's like, yeah, like you got that pick far down the line or whatever, but the pick's not going to be that good. And it's a reminder that the pick's not that good because Luka's going to be there.
I think you preemptively
devalued your own asset.
But just by firing that guy and letting the city have the release that it's having today, I do kind of wonder if that's a full reset, like between fans.
I think it could be a full reset. I just don't think the reset comes with sending off pieces to the Lakers. I think the reset is going to be, we send Daniel Gafford to, you know, X team, X other team that needs a center.
I think the reset actually comes from sending AD somewhere.
It's going to be, that's what I was about to say next. It's going to be like AD to the Bulls or the, you know, probably not the Thunder, but like that would be an insane fit. You know, like the Bulls or whoever, like somebody's going to make a trade for AD and, you know, try to recoup some of those assets so that you can use them alongside Cooper Flagg down the line. Like, you know, you can get back some of the, you're never going to get back all the assets you didn't get for Luka, but you can get back some of the assets you did not get for Luka. If you trade AD, the new front office ownership is probably not going to have a ton of loyalty to Kyrie like Nico did. Like, everybody is talking about the AD trade. I don't know that a Kyrie trade won't be pretty soon after that, because if you're trading AD, what do all the rest of all these vets want to do here?
I'm
not going to drop my full theory on this, but like, I would not be surprised if Kyrie demanded a trade in the aftermath of like the Nico dismissal. Like, that was his guy.
Yeah. I mean, like, AD was trying to come back sooner from injury to help save Nico.
Yeah.
So, which, by the way, I want to take a quick second on AD because we knew after the trade, this was an impossible spot for Anthony Davis. Absolutely brutal spot for him to go to. And I saw that one account. Was it Mavs Film Room? By the way, quick aside, film room accounts, we know the original guy, and you are not allowed to call yourself Team X Film Room without actually breaking down film. That goes to you, Mavs Film Room. And like that, I'm sorry. Starting that was a wild
Mavs Film Room today.
It's just like, what are you doing? Like, I'm Mavs Film Room. Do you break down film? No. Do you tweet from a room? I don't know. I live in a tent. So, but like,
lives in a room made of film.
That's it. It'd be great if he was like a big cinema guy.
Yeah.
You know,
Like, no, I just like the Mavs and film. I'd be like, oh, okay. That actually makes sense as like an account name then.
Yeah. But so like the AD thing, like I felt so bad for him throughout all of this because, you know, one, he gets traded while he is hurt. Remember, he was supposed to miss a big chunk of time. He rushes back. And you and I have talked about this, even when he was a Laker, that he was hyper aware of the reputation and the narrative surrounding him. That was, oh, Anthony Data Davis, when's he going to be healthy? Is he ever healthy? Oh, he's going back to the locker room again. And he, in my opinion, played through a bunch of shit that he probably shouldn't have played through because he had the...
Also, one of the only guys in the NBA who gets criticized for being injury prone. Like, everybody else, it's like, oh, man, that's really sad that so-and-so got hurt again. But it's like, AD, they're like, how dare your ligaments fail you?
Right, well, yeah. How many games have the Lakers played so far this season, Harrison, against a fully healthy team? We're barely even 10 games into the season, and I don't know if they've played a fully healthy team yet. They haven't been fully healthy either.
Yeah,
but
no, I mean, that's how the NBA is now.
Right. And but anyway, like Anthony Davis, he gets traded while he's hurt. He rushes himself back and makes himself available. Looks incredible, by the way. That first game, I was like, oh, shit, this might actually be a really good team.
I see the vision.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if I would have wanted to arrive here.
I'm sitting there. Fortune is favoring the Bulls right now.
Well, like.
Look at that. They almost beat a Rockets team that lost in the first round. I don't know. Championship contender. Many are asking.
But so they look really good. Then AD like tweaks his, what was it? Was it his groin?
His ab again. No, groin are all like the same. They always like, it just depends on what the player wants them to announce. It's like Austin was okay with them saying groin, but it's like, you know, LeBron's always like, no, it's my abdominis, which is like, I believe attached to your groin. Like they're all like, it's all the same injury. Yeah.
So he like tweaks he that again making, and like,
Ladik jokes, you know? And so
they like, you know, again, he's supposed to miss this time and, you know, because of the narrative surrounding that and because he got traded for this guy, Luka, and all this stuff, he tries to rush himself back from that, plays through something he probably should have gotten surgically repaired and does something to his eye over the course of the offseason that requires surgery. By the way, Amari Stoudemire, he got surgery on his detached retina. He missed the rest of that season. And AD was trying to play through that. Like, I've seen Mavericks fans kind of like,
Are you aware of the process for repairing the detached retina?
No, I don't want to be either.
Well, I learned about this in the 7 Seconds or Less Sun book from, I believe it was Jack McCallum wrote that, where he embedded with the Suns coaching staff for like an entire year. It was the year they beat the Lakers in the playoffs. But there was a part on Amari Stoudemire and what he went through with that. You literally have to lay face down on like a massage style table for like 24 to 48 hours while fluid drains.
Oh. From your eye.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the, like, you know, AD goes through all of that. He plays in goggles to make sure that like no more damage is done there. Like, I don't know. To me, it has always felt like AD was doing everything he possibly could to make this Luka trade hurt that much less, you know? Yeah. And now, was he effective in doing so? No, obviously not. But yeah. I've seen this extended backlash.
There's a reason their injury timelines, coming back too early from injury, usually does not lead to good results.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm going to be really happy for Anthony Davis whenever he's traded, because he gets a full reset from this too. He didn't ask to be traded for Luka Doncic, you know, like that wasn't something that he requested have happen. And no matter who, by the way, was traded for Luka, unless it was fucking Wemby, there was no walking into that situation and being like, all right, we're okay now, guys. There was nobody. And like Mavericks fans holding it specifically against AD has kind of pissed me off a little bit.
And I will say that a lot of Mavs fans didn't. I saw a lot of Mavs fans saying like, hey, like we got to separate. Like, this is not AD's fault that he got included in this trade. And, you know, like it's not on him that his, like, you know, like as I said yesterday, his dumbest mentor like made like a really bad trade for him because he believed in him too much. You know, like, and then AD, you know, obviously felt pressure to justify that for his guy and like try to, you know, do right, which is, you know, that speaks well of him to some degree, but it's also like, you know, it was never going to work, you know, and it was never going to, it's for us being 10,000 feet removed or whatever, it's very easy to see that was never going to work. Even if AD had played great, it was never going to heal that hole and that wound for the Dallas like fan base, like unless they won a title, I think probably. And even then it's probably still like, you know, like it's like an increased degree of how Boston fans felt after like they won the title right after trading Marcus Smart. It's like, oh, well, this kind of like, that was like our guy though. Like we wanted him there for that. Yeah.
It would have been like if the Dodgers would have won a World Series after Kershaw or after trading Kershaw, you know, it's like, man, we really wanted to win one for Kersh. But
you know, people took issue with my phrasing yesterday. I wrote on Silver Screen and Rolls.
Person quote tweets you and gets that ball rolling, it's over.
Yeah, and it's fine. Like, I get it. I'm a writer. It's my job to convey things well. And if I don't, then that's on me. But like I just said, like any other Lakers fans feel bad for Anthony Davis at this point. And people took issue with at this point. It's like, well, I always felt bad for AD. And it's like, well, okay, I didn't feel as bad for him in the aftermath of the trade because he was going to a place. He clearly didn't vibe with JJ. He was going to a place where he was going to be surrounded by people who supported him and who believed in him arguably too much. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that was going to be, and no income taxes. He was going to make more money. Like, I didn't feel that
bad. He wasn't going to play center, you know?
Yeah, right off the bat. And then it's like, you see the sort of clown fuckery that it turns into, and it's like, yeah, I'm starting to feel pretty bad for Anthony Davis at this point. Like, that's still got, again, I'm happy Luka is here, you know, you make the trade, you always make the trade, the Lakers didn't do anything wrong, they didn't do wrong by AD, but it's like, I still just feel bad for the situation he ended up in. And as somebody who won a title for the Lakers, like, I hope that he can end up somewhere where he is able to be appreciated and not tied to the worst move in franchise history.
I'm guessing it'll be Chicago. Either Chicago or Indiana are the two teams that I've kind of pinpointed that make kind of the most sense here for Anthony
Davis.
Indiana
would be interesting. I don't know if Indiana runs like play with Allie though.
He's like Miles Turner on steroids when he's healthy. So
yeah, but like, he's not the shooter Miles is, and he doesn't. I don't know that he
significantly
doesn't run
better defensively, but
yeah, that's true. But he doesn't. He doesn't run the floor enough for them. I don't know.
That's probably, yeah, that's a good point. I'd still be intrigued.
And he'd have to play center because, you know, unless he wants Siakam guarding center. I don't know. That's an iffy fit to me.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, one thing that Anthony Davis is going to have to come to grips with, because he's not very athletic anymore, like, he's not bouncy, is he's a center.
Sorry, dude, you're just a center now. Like, you're going to have to be, you're a center. Like,
and that was the thing. That was the one thing that I saw from Mavs fans that, like, I did have my snarky kind of like chuckles about, was like, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I don't miss that. And now look, like, the league is kind of operating bigger. So maybe he goes, like, I saw some people maybe saying San Antonio makes some sense with him and Wemby.
Oh my
That's
God.
That's a terrifying defensive front. Like,
please God,
God,
no.
I hope not.
I mean, like, I'd be happy for AD, but like,
yeah.
Goodbye Western Conference for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and then, you know, I threw out Sacramento out there, and I almost felt bad.
Honestly,
throwing Sacramento out there.
The Mavs need a guard. Does De'Aaron Fox for AD work?
I thought about that. I thought about De'Aaron Fox for AD, and I've you know, look, in terms of contracts, like Zach LaVine for AD, I feel like is the most natural. Oh, God,
please, no, well, don't do that to our guy. Don't say.
I know. I feel bad thinking about it. But
don't
like,
even look, say that. Don't put that out into the universe.
You know what, though, Harrison?
AD going like, to somebody's a place coming for my dumb trade crown. I gotta step up. Nobody's talking about me anymore.
I kind of would be pulling for it because I would like AD to just go to somewhere that doesn't have expectations for a bit. Just prove, like, he would show up to Sacramento. There would be no expectations of him, and he would maybe help kickstart their rebuild, play well for like the remainder of the season, and then just kick ass too. By the way, like he'd be like, imagine AD on like imagine good stats, bad team AD. I feel like he'd be a monster.
Yeah, that was Pelicans AD.
Yeah, which, by the way, he was a monster. So, but yeah, like I the other team that kind of came to mind was Brooklyn, just because, you know, Brooklyn's always looking to take on a big contract for the sake of a couple picks here and there.
I think they're trying to tank too hard this year. I don't think they do it. Unless they like call.
AD's always like, hey, hurt. Does he like hurt the out? Tank? Like if Brooklyn trades for AD,
we want to bring you in. We want you to take a year off.
Yeah,
just get right.
Who saw, man? Yeah,
yeah.
Which, by the way, maybe that's just what he should do in Dallas.
Yeah,
you know, just not play for the rest of the year, fully recover. Same goes for Kyrie. They draft DeBonta or Cam Boozer or something like that, and then they're just absolutely stacked next season. I wonder if the league would even. At some point, the league would look into that, but whatever. I mean, Kyrie coming off of ACL surgery.
You know, like, you did the Lakers a favor. We'll keep getting you next number one pick.
Yeah. Well, this, by the way, like high key is a really intriguing job for whoever takes it. Nico's replacement. One thing, you're going to be super popular just because you're not Nico. and two, you're walking into Cooper Flagg, and now, unfortunately, in that spot, like you're walking into a spot where Jason Kidd has a chunk of power in the front office.
And that Mark Cuban is apparently back.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that appealing of a job.
Yeah, now that I'm talking, those,
I mean,
two,
there's only 30 factors. But yeah, like you're entering into Mark Cuban has somehow regained power because Nico made such a bad trade after he left. So now Patrick Dumont is like consulting with the former owner on trades. And then Jason Kidd sort of wriggled his way in there. He's like, yeah, no, like I know ball.
From the Lakers perspective here, I think look, we talked about how we don't anticipate that the Mavericks are going to send the Lakers any players anytime soon. First things first, they would have to figure out what they're going to do with Anthony Davis. And then I think you start having those conversations on the peripheries of the roster. But what it does mean is I don't think you have to worry about the Mavericks for the rest of the season. Like, that's one Western Conference team that you can just write in ink in the lottery. And in this conference, I think that matters a lot. Like, in this conference, Raj and I were marveling at there being three Eastern Conference teams that sit at 1-9. It's nice that there is going to be probably at least one West team that is just going to suck this season, you know? And unfortunately, it's Dallas, you know, because we have friends there. But, like, I'm excited about the idea of.
I mean, that'll be better for them. If they actually fully go into the tank, that'll be better for them long term. Because you can't undo the Luka trade, and now you just have to make the best of a bad situation. And like tanking this year is absolutely the path.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they just
start Klay Thompson again. You know.
Well, that's another thing. People have been asking for ways that the Lakers could wind up with Klay Thompson, and it's like that dude is hockey puck levels of cooked steak. Like, yeah, that is charcoal. He is charcoal. I don't think he's going to be very good at basketball ever again. Harrison, anything else?
Walter owns the team now, so they're not going to trade for him just because he's dating Megan Thee Stallion, and they'll get some good headlines for it.
I don't know if Megan Thee Stallion would follow Clay anywhere out of Texas. She's big into Texas, so
I think LA, she probably would.
Oh, yeah, he should go to, yeah, maybe it's the Clippers.
Yeah. Yeah. Join the Unk squad. Like, just more, just another Unk guy. Older. They're like, we know, we've heard your concerns about our athleticism and speed, and we, you know who we're adding? Klay Thompson.
Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I do want to say, shouts to Nico.
I also want to say, like, we live in a timeline where he was able to make that trade, and there are some where he was not. You know, I was looking back at some old reporting. Mark Stein, in the aftermath of like the Mavs making that run to the finals, was reporting that it's you know, like, on like, hey, look, the Mavs find this great GM that got him all the way to the finals. And it's like, well, you know, he wasn't unknown in NBA circles. The Spurs tried to hire him 3 times. And you know, I just hope they make it a fourth.
Well, that's Raj's theory, is that, like, how does Nico just lose his mind out of nowhere and make the dumbest trade of all time? And here's my thing. All right, this is what we'll end on.
Omnipotent. Everyone has their blind spots.
Well, that's the thing, is that, like, well, the way
everyone has dumb takes.
The way that the Luka trade went down lends itself to any conspiracy theory that you want. Like, it really is the Rorschach of NBA trades, where if you are so inclined to believe X, Y, or Z and put a piece of tinfoil on your head and call it a hat, like, if you are willing to go that far, this trade and the way things played out since really allows you to feast on that stuff, because I don't know how many takes I've seen about, you know, Nico was forced to do this and now he's just the fall guy for it. I don't know how many tweets that I've seen where it's like, you know, how can, you know, if the root issue isn't the problem here, then should Mavericks fans even be that excited? And it's like, all right, look, I don't think the Adelsons are very good societally or at like running a basketball team, but I do think people are ignoring Occam's razor on Nico, and the guy had a specific worldview, and the guy is very much an apostle of the Church of Mamba. And I say that kind of tongue in cheek, but I say it somewhat seriously too, because that is the way that the guy sees the world. You know, those high skilled, get buckets, work until your fingers fall off type of players. That's what Nico always wanted. And to this point, and, you know, through the couple of years that he and Luka were together, that's not how Luka really operated or worked. And so, like, if I think it, I to me, that the simplest explanation is that Nico just lost his mind and there wasn't the organizational, you know, not give a bleep, but, what's a lack of ineptitude, or the opposite of ineptitude? Like,
competence.
Thank you. There wasn't the organizational competence to, like, as soon as Nico says, "Hey, I think we should trade Luka," he should have been fired. Like, that. That right? Like, am I right? Like,
But it's just so funny to imagine that, like, him going into the office is like, "Hey, so I've been talking with Rob Pelinka about a Luka trade." And Patrick Dumont just goes, "You're fired."
Yes,
like, I don't need to hear any more of this.
Yeah.
Like, wait, no, I was just going to run an idea, but no, you're fired. I'm sorry. Just the fact that you would even have that conversation.
Yeah. Like, it's cut and dry. Like, once you have that idea, or it's like, all right, I have the idea to trade Luka Doncic. Okay, let's really talk this one out. What are you thinking? Oh, the only team I want to negotiate with is the Lakers, and I just want Anthony Davis. All right, yeah, get the fuck out. Like, hey, get out of here. Like, out. Immediately. Out. And you could leak whatever you want about us, but you are gone. And yeah. And like, to me,
Well, it's also, it's indicative of the mindset of the people that are defending him, where, like, these are the same people that were, like, on lottery day, they're like, y'all gonna apologize to Nico Harrison now? And it's like, what? Because his team was so bad that he got lucky and lucked into Cooper Flagg, and then he somehow, like, still sort of fumbled that the next season, and now it's like, oh, well, ownership made him make the Luka trade. And it's like, no, you can't ask me to apologize to the guy. Yeah. When he gets lucky, and then be like, well, no, but the bad decision that he got fired for, that's like historically bad, like that wasn't his fault. Ownership made him do it. We've just never heard that from anyone with any sources whatsoever.
The problem is that, like, in this state, what do we call it? We live in the era of stupid, right? Like, we live in the dumb ages. Yeah. Like, in this era or at this stage of internet culture, somebody has to land on every take, right? So, like, every single possible take has to be given, and it will traffic because people will either agree with it stupidly, or there's enough people who are dunking on that take that that person gets the attention for giving the dumb take in the first place. And that's the point of the internet. It's not to be right. It's not to sound intelligent. Hell, at this stage of society, the more intelligent you sound, or the more experience that you have on the subject matter, the worse that I guess you are for some reason. But like it this Nico thing and some of the responses to it and the responses to those responses, it's like, man, we are cooked. When I see the number of people who on lottery day were like, see, you just didn't see the vision. It's like, you don't understand how math works, do you? You know, and this need to land on every take or give every take out there, it's just so sick. And I saw a quote, I saw a graphic that was making the rounds, and apparently it's a quote attributed to Kenny Beecham. And I really liked it. It was like, stop being an analyst from time to time and just be a fan, you know? And I feel like that applies to not basketball too, or not sports. It's like, stop trying to get your high fives for your opinion for a second, and just say the thing that you're thinking about saying out loud, you know, and like stop for a second. And I think we'd all be a lot better off. But RIP Nico, you're a Lakers legend. What should the statue be? Like what should he get? A jersey? Should he get a consultant gig in the organization?
You gotta put the statue like not that close to the arena, because you don't want Luka having to see it. Like, and so like, maybe it's like the game the Cambros used to play of like, where's so-and-so statue and how big is it? Like, I think you put Nico's statue, it's like a couple blocks away. Like, you can go visit it if you're a real fan, you want to pay homage, you know, but like, it's not right outside the arena where Luka has to see it.
I think instead of a statue, Nico's picture should hang in every Lakers bar.
I love that people are like, the my favorite comments that I've seen in the aftermath of this are like, the Lakers should hire Nico now, just officially. And it's like, wait, no, what about his entire tenure makes you want to bring that guy in? And then second of all, it's like, it's so funny to imagine them just like Mark Walter's first move as owner being to hire like Luka's like biggest hater.
Yeah.
Actually, somehow I see Tony Tiger in the comments. Practice center statue is actually not a bad idea. Luka can stare it down after every practice bat. Maybe you put it in the arena next to the opposing bench, and then Luka can just like get motivation anytime he needs. You put it in the Lakers weight room.
Or like in the hallway.
Stares at it on the treadmill.
No, it has to go in the hallway. It's got to be a mobile statue that they can roll around whenever, wherever you want it.
It's a statue on stairs with wheels.
Yes. Yeah. And it, you put it so that Luka can see it at any given moment.
They just roll it into places where Luka is working out just to motivate him.
They should do that, but also include Jason Kidd in the statue, because those are the two people responsible for trading Luka.
Yeah. Well, the Lakers would never dishonor the memory of a legendary Lakers assistant coach, shadow head coach, Jason Kidd, you know.
Man, they were so bummed that they couldn't make him their head coach.
Yeah.
I think they blame us.
Yeah, they're I think they're very jealous of the Mavs.
While they have Luka.
Yeah.
Rob is.
Rob, right. That's how the conversation Rob called him, and he was like, hey, man, it's so cool that you got to hire Jason.
Do you think Rob's called Nico yet?
I saw Bill Simmons say, like, Rob should probably wait a few hours before sending, like, the, hey, man, this sucks text, you know?
I don't think they've talked. I don't think they talk anymore.
I can't imagine how they would.
I mean, I'm not going to base my entire belief on whether or not they've talked on the one instance that I was in a room with the two of them, but in a very big, big room in an arena with the two of them.
But Rob thanked him in the intro Luca presser.
Yeah, like they did not at any point, they were intentionally not locking eyes. Remember when Russ and LeBron were in Summer League and the two of them were sitting on opposite sides of the court and they were, and like, you had like poor young, like role player Lakers had to decide, like, all right, first do I go dap up LeBron over here? All right,
who am I taking?
Now I got to go dap up Russ over there. That's what like reporters were doing with Nico and Rob. We was like, all right, I got to go say hi to Nico and check in on what's going on over there. All right, really quickly. Hope he doesn't see me do this. Hey, Rob, how's it going?
Yeah.
All right, Harrison, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. A reminder, please hit that subscribe button here on YouTube. If you guys are watching on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge to find the show there. And then if you guys are listening to this via podcast or in the form of a podcast, please hit those 5-star reviews. Get those questions in the form of a 5-star review to iTunes, and I'll get to those next mailbag. And until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Harrison Fagan. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. And shouts to you, Nico. You are absolute legend. I like my idea. Like, hang his picture in every Lakers
Thank you.
Thank you, Nico.